Today's Shir's Masechta Chul and Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Hei on Be'ez, two lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara Amar Rava. Mereish Havamina, originally I used to say, Shesimona Odef Metfias Einam. As we began discussing at the end of our previous Shir, and very much relevant to today's Shir, is that we spoke about meat that doesn't have a simen. And the question is, how do we identify that was the meat that belonged to us, that it's kosher meat? So he says, Maresh, I would say that if you have a simen in the actual meat, that would be the way to be able to determine that was the piece of kosher meat. Ha-Midrinen, and the proof that I thought that made me believe that the simen is what is most effective, Ha-Midrinen, as we learned Masechta Bava Metzia. And in Masechta Bava Metzia, we learned very extensively that if somebody loses something and he wants to reclaim it, the way he can successfully reclaim it is by bringing a simon. V'loy Madrinan, however, if somebody comes and says, not able to offer a simon, but he says that I know that this object is mine, Talach is V'loy Madrinan Betfinis Eina. Just because somebody says, I know it's mine, it's not going to be satisfactory. But here, once we discussed in our previous year, Hashta Sheminul Hanashmatza, now I heard that Boshness Alam and Ayin, it could be returned by the person saying that I know that this is the kosher piece of meat that I had. So I see Amina. The Tfinis Aina, Difa, the Tfinis Aina is even better than a simen. So the obvious question is, how do we know that a simen is better than a Tfinis Aina? Doesn't the Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia teach us that a Talmud Chacham, we would return a lost object to a Talmud Chacham based on Tfinis Aina? So why is the Gemara establishing that a simen is better than a Tfinis Aina? So Tosfos asked this question. Tosfos says that what the Gemara assumed that when the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says that we return a lost object to a Talmud Chacham based on Tfiyas Ayin, that requires a full-fledged Tfiyas Ayin. Anything that's not very concrete would not be considered a valid Tfiyas Ayin. And our Gemara, we're learning. But even to a Talmud Chacham, if it isn't a full-fledged Tfiyas Ayin, we wouldn't return it. But here, we're learning that we're returning something based on a Tfiyas Ayin, even if it's a Tfiyas Ayin that isn't that's offered by everybody, even though it's not that strong. Other Rishonim explain, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rava was under the assumption that the reason we return a lost object on Tfiyas Ayin to a Talmud Chacham is not because we're concerned or not concerned that Talmud Chacham is saying the truth or not. The reason is that a Talmud Chacham is very aware of what belongs to him. And since the Talmud Chacham is so very aware of what belongs to him, that's why we can return something. But we can't rely on that by other people. So what does that tell us? That a simen is better than Tfiyas Ayin. All we're saying is, by Talmud Chacham, because we have such confidence in the Talmud Chacham, so that's why we'll rely on Tfiyas Ayin. But that truthfully, a simen is better. And that's why if somebody is not a Talmud Chacham, we require a simen. That clearly is an indication, they say, that what the Gemara says, that the simen is better than Tfiyas Ayin, is very clear. Because a Tfiyas Ayin, we only rely for by a Talmud Chacham. And by a simen, we rely on a simen from everybody. And from here, says Tosfos furthermore, from the back and forth of this Gemara, that the Tfiyas Ayin, especially according to Tosfos' approach to the Gemara, that the piece of meat that we're allowing to be eaten based on Tfiyas Ayin, the way to understand it is that even if it's not strong Tfiyas Ayin, because Tosfos seems to take the approach that Tfiyas Ayin here is not a Tfiyas Ayin Gemura. Because Tosfos seems to take the approach that Tfiyas Ayin Gemura, everybody would agree, is better than a Simen. So from here we see that Tfiyas Ayin is, by Bos Shas Alman Ayin, doesn't have to be a very strong Tfiyas Ayin. And in fact, I saw that the Rishayim try to identify what does it mean when we say Tfiyas Ayin. And many say that it's really not something, many Rishayim suggest, it's not really something that we could easily describe. When I see, what they say Tfiyas Ayin means, that when I see something that belongs to me, I know it belongs to me. It's not that I could give a description why I know, but it shows that I believe that that's mine. And that's why I saw that the Rishonim say, that's why Tfiyas Ayin, and this Gemara is now saying, is stronger than Simonim. Because even though Simonim, we would think, should be stronger than Tfiyas Ayin, because by Simonim, I'm making very clear description of what I mean and what I don't mean, what I'm saying and I'm describing, but there's always a possibility that there's somebody else that has an object with the same simonim. Tfiyas Ayin is much more. It's something that I know and I recognize as mine. And in fact, I saw the Miri says that people may make a mistake by a simon, but they won't make a mistake by Tfiyas Ayin. Because something that I'm comfortable in saying that it's mine, the halacha is that we can rely on a Tfiyas Ayin. Of course, now the question is, so if that's the case, and we're giving so much credence to Tfiyas Ayin, so why does the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia not rely on Tfiyas Ayin to return a simon? So I saw that the Chef Shematz explains that actually, according to the Maskon of today's Gemara, Tfiyas Ayin is stronger. But Tfiyas Ayin is still not stronger than an Eid Echad, and we don't return money based on an Eid Echad. And that's why you have to have Simonim, which are much stronger. Says the Gemara, Dilei Teimachi, explains the Gemara, if we won't explain the Gemara this way, Heich Suma Mutabishtai, how could a Suma who can't see his wife ever be allowed to have relations with his wife? How will he know it's hers? It's her. Ubnei Adam, Eich Mutar Minishasein Belaila, somebody comes home and it's dark, how does he know it's his wife? The answer is, because of Tfiyas Ayin Adekol, he can recognize her voice. Hachanami, here too, in our Gemara, we could rely on Tfiyas Ayin. So what will be the halacha, asked the Yamshu Shloima, if Rachman Tzlan will have a situation that the person is blind and deaf, so he doesn't have a Tfiyas Ayin the color. So will that mean that he can never live with his wife? So Yamshu Shloima says that Tfiyas Ayin, that when we talk about a husband and a wife, the situation is entirely different. Because who's living in my home if not my wife? And therefore, since the individual who I find at home is a woman who is typically my wife, so we start in a much stronger place to be, we start in a much stronger place to be lenient. The Pasuk says, Vehiba Baik Vihine Leia. So Rashi says, at night, Yaakov Avinu cannot tell that she was Leah. And the reason he wasn't able to tell at night that she was Leah, because Rachel gave her the simonim. So I saw that the Sefer Merasim eggs and asks, if that's the case, that there's a way to beat the system by giving the simonim to Leah, so now we should have a problem. The Gemara says we rely that a Suma could be with his wife based on Tfiyas Ayin, but the Gemara over there shows us that you could beat the system of Tfiyas Ayinim. So he answers that Our Gemara also just said that we could rely on Tfias Eina de Kaila. And now in Rachel and Leah, because they were sisters, their voices were very similar. So under normal circumstances, that you can rely on Tfias Eina de Kaila. But here, it was not, they were sisters, in a unique situation where we cannot rely on Tfias Eina de Kaila. That's one teretz that's offered. Another teretz is, when we say that we can rely on Tfias Eina de Kaila, it means that you can recognize somebody's voice, and based on recognizing the voice, you'll do what you have to do. However, and you'll be able to recognize your wife. But if this person is out to fool you, Chas v'Shalom, we say this with the greatest respect when we speak about Leah, where she was deliberately trying to fool Yaakov, so there, indeed, you can't rely on Tfias Eina de Kaila because she's going to disguise her voice. So that's why in that case, that even though normally we rely on Tfias Eina, here we don't. I saw that the Chasam Sofer says, we all remember the episode of Rivka and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esau with the bracha. He says that Rivka said that to Yaakov, Olai kelaloscha b'ni. So he explains, Rivka said, I'm going to take the blame and I'm going to suffer for you getting the brachas. Why? So he says a very interesting pshat. Yitzchak, as we know, was blind. So Yitzchak, how could he live with Rivka? He relied on Tfias Eina de Kaila. But what happened by the story with Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu disguised his voice like Yitzchak, like Esav. And that's why he was able to fool Yitzchak. But now Yitzchak saw that you can no longer rely on Tfias Eina de Kaila. But Yitzchak, because he was blind, the only reason he was able to remain with Rivka is because he relied on Tfias Eina de Kaila, and now because of this story, he was able to see, we now see that Tfias Eina de Kaila is not something that's reliable, and that's why Rivka said, Alai telascha b'ni, and that's why I'm going to be the one that's going to lose the most because of this episode. Amar Yitzhak Reder M'shasha Teda, I'll bring you raya that Tfias Eina is better than a simon. Dila also betray v'amri. If two people came and said, Plani the high simon of a high simon of katal nafsha, we say testimony that a person with these simonim was a murderer. Like Atlinale, we wouldn't punish the murderer. However, v'ila amri islay tfias aina begavei, that would not be enough to determine that this person is a murderer. However, if these people say testimony that we know through Tfias Eina that he's a murderer, then the halach is katlinalei, we would be able to do this. And indeed, the question is, why so? So the Rishonim say, because since we just learned in our Gemara, the power of Tfias Eina, so part of learning this Gemara and determining that we can rely on Tfias Eina, what the Gemara is actually telling us is that Tfias Eina is in the category of an Eidus, and therefore we can rely on it. So if Tfias Eina is like an Eidus, so then we come back to the beginning of the Shir, and that is why can't we rely, as the Rishonim, on Tfias Eina by a Veda. It was saying that Tfias Eina is so powerful. So the Rishonim explain that by an Aveda, when I'm saying through Tfias Eina that this is my Aveda, I'm very partial because I have a reason to lie. So even though by Tfias Eina is very strong, but here we can rely on with something that I have financial interest, there we can't rely on Tfias Eina. On the other hand, I did see Rishonim say that when the Gemara here says that if somebody is able to identify a murderer through Tfias Eina will accept that, that's only if the person who's saying this testimony is actually a Talmid Chacham. If he's not a Talmid Chacham, then we can't rely on Tfias Eina. Arav Ashi Teda, and it says, I'll show you how Tfias Eina is I'll prove to you that Tfilas Ayin is so powerful. Says the Ela Amalel Inish L'Shluchei. If somebody told his shliach, Kaya L'Plani D'Haisimani V'Haisimani, please call this person, that these are the siman of this person. Safak Yodalei, Safak Lo Yodalei. Just because I gave simonim for you to be able to know whom I mean, it doesn't mean that my description was correct. However, if I tell you, go call this person, and you know that through a tfis ayin who that person is, then the aloch is, when he'll see him, yodalei, and he'll be confident that we can be confident that he knows what he's talking about, and that you don't need any more. Says the Mishnah, Neitel Geranosha, when you remove the Geranosha, Tzok Shitos Kula, you have to remove it entirely. Rav Yehuda Omer, Kedei L'Kayim by Mitzvos Netila. You don't have to take it completely out. All you have to do is the part of the Geranosha that's exposed is the part that you have to remove. Says the Mishnah, Hoichem Geranosha Kazayis, if somebody eats a Kazayis of the Git Hanosha, Soifik Aboim, he's going to get Malkus. And the Pashup Shat, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Says the Miri, as we've learned and will learn that the Gid doesn't have any Tam, and therefore we would think since the Gid doesn't have any Tam, we would say that we should get Malkus for eating it. Kamash Malon, that even though it doesn't have Tam, Yechayiv. Another pshat that the Rishonim offer is that you might think that you're only chayiv if you eat the whole gid, but if you only eat a kazayis of the gid, maybe you shouldn't get malchus. Teaches us the Mishnah that if you just ate a kazayis of the gid, you're going to get malchus. However, says the Mishnah, Achla, if you ate the entire gid, then by kazayis, but that doesn't equal a kazayis, but it is a barrier, so or ochel mizek kazai, you'll get malchus. Continues the Mishnah, ochel mizek kazayis. If you ate a kazayis of one gidanesha, and you ate a kazayis of another gidanesha, soif kshmoinim. But of course, explained Rishonim, in order to get two sets of malchus, that the halacha is you're going to have to get two separate hasra. And the way to understand this is that the Mishnah is teaching us, as we've had this machlokes many times, that the Rabbanan holds Yechayiv for the Git from the right side and for the Git of the left side. And therefore, this person, if he ate these two kazaisim of the Git in two or the whole Git in two separate acts of eating with two separate asras, you're going to get two malchus. If you die in a sefik alaboyim, you're only going to get one set of malchus, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that we only get malchus for one of them. As we learned, Rabbi Yehuda says only one of them, the Das Noitin, it seems that's the right one. It says about Bar Piyule, have a koika made a Shmuel. Bar Piyule was standing in front of Shmuel, called Nakar Atma, and he was clearing out the thigh from the clearing out the Gidanosha from the thigh. Have a Kagomle, and he was just scraping it off, not going all the way in. Amale, and Shmuel says, Chus beitfei, go much deeper in. Chashta, he said, Chashta leizichas fis leisura. If I wouldn't have observed what you're doing, and I would have eaten the meat, even though you didn't do an adequate job of clearing out the granosha, I would have eaten something that I'm not allowed to eat. Irsus, so Bar Piyule got very frightened. Was he causing people to eat something not kosher? Nofas akira miyodei. And in fright, the knife fell out of his hand. To which Shmuel told him, "Loi tirsus, don't be so scared. Dar like Rabbi Yehuda Erlach. Whoever taught you how to do nikur of the Giranosha, passing like Rabbi Yehuda that we just learned in the Mishnah, you don't have to go very deep in." Amar Shishas, my the shock about Piyule, what Bar Piyule took out from the what Bar Piyule took out. Midaraisa Rabbi Yehuda. It's what Rabbi Yehuda says, Midaraisa must be removed. Ask the Gemara, Michlal the Shayad Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda, does that seem to imply that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he didn't do the job properly. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the other part of the gid is also midrabanan. And does that mean that he didn't even do what Rabbi Yehuda would require midrabanan? Says the Gemara, Ayrelay command Ayrelay. So says the Gemara, how are we to understand this Gemara? Says my honor, Shesh is my shock about Priyulay. What Priyulay took out is Midaraisa, is adequate Midaraisa, both according to Meir of Yehuda. Or my Shire, and what he didn't take out was only the Rabbanan Lerameya. It's only Gid the Rabbanan according to Rameya's interpretation. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, because if he's following the Psak of Rabbi Yehuda, then what he took out is there's no need to take out more. I feel with the Rabbanan Shari, even the Rabbanan will hold that it's sufficient. We learned that when we spoke about the Gid and Nasha, that the Gid and Nasha is in a curved fashion that on top of the bone of the Yerech, and then it goes down into the leg of the animal. But we also learned there's a Gid Chitzoni and Gid Pnimi. Gid Chitzoni is a short gid, which is also mid rabbanon. The gid apnimi is a long gid, which is also mid araisa. Now the Gemara discusses the gid apnimi. How much do you have to take out? Says the Mishnah, do you have to go all the way in, or just take out the part that's exposed on top of the bone? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, "Oichel megid anasha kizayis." If you added kizayis to gid anasha, we just learned loika abaya. Loika aboyim, you get one set of malchus. To which Shmuel says, Lo yasa Torah, ela kanaf ben vad. The only thing that's awesome with the raisa is the part of the gid that's on top of the bone. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, al gid hanosha. Amra papa, but to which Rapapa comments, that this issue, ketanoi, is actually machlokes tanoim. Because one braisa says, achla, vein by kazayis, if you ate the gid, but it doesn't equal kazayis, chay, because it's a burial. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, Rabbi Yehuda says it has to have kazayis. Says the Gemara, my tam drabonin, that say that even if it doesn't have a kazayis, but you ate the whole gid, you chayiv, because as we just said, it's burial. And the Gemara, Masechta the Brachos, Malchus teaches us that you chayiv for eating a burial. Achil, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not sufficient. The halacha is that achilik sibei. So now the question is that Tosfos asks that the Torah says by shrotzim also the word achila, and yet the halacha is that if you eat a whole sheretz, since it's a barrier, you're chayif. So why won't we say the same thing here? So the Rishonim answer that by sheretz, the halacha is that if a sheretz had a number of kazaisim, of course you'd be chayiv. But the Torah is telling us by a sheretz that even if it's a berry, you're chayiv. But if by giranosha you only have to eat part of it, and then we would say, if the Torah wouldn't have said the word of achila, we would say that it does make a difference if it has a kazayis or not. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, since the Torah uses the word achila, it must mean that it's a kazayis. Rabbanan, achil de ispei, avav chamishim zaysim. There we're talking about a big sheretz makes up a 4 or 5 kazayisim, and the Torah tells us, v'ach chazayis mechayiv, even though you didn't eat the whole thing. But when you have a small gid, their opinion is that's enough to be chayiv. Rabbi Huda, that says from the word achila that you always have to have a kazayis. How do we know that if you have a large gid, just eating a kazayis of it is sufficient to be chayiv? Me'asha al kafa yerach nafka. You just have to have some gid to be chayiv. V'rabbanan, ha'umi ba'ilech l'shmul, where would Rabbanan who learned that halacha from the other pasuk, what will they do with this pasuk? L'chir Shmuel, Dami Shmuel, L'yasu Torah, Ela, Al-Kafa Yerech. As we learned, that you only chay for the part that's exactly on top of the bone. Rabbi Huda used this pasuk to tell us that even if you have a big gid, you chay if you ate a kazayis of it. How will he learn that? Because he's going to say, indeed, the kula yarech, any part of the yarech, not just the part on top of the bone. Rabbi Huda pasuk is sur b'kula yarech. The pasuk has come to teach us, as we said before, the yarech that spreads on the entire leg, that's called the gid anasha, the gid that spreads on the entire leg, the fuki chitzin, the loy. Loylam, but even the gid apnimi, it has to be the part, to be chayiv malchus, you have to take the part on the top of the bone. Ask the Gemara, high kaf by little mute oif to less like kaf. But ask the Gemara, don't I need the word kaf to tell us there's no issue of gid anasha by birds, because birds don't have a knaf. And so tomorrow, trey kaf ksivi. The pasuk says the word kaf more than once, so we could learn both halachas from these two places. So the Rishonim, the Gemara keeps on repeating that the gid anasha is a barrier. And since the gid anasha is a barrier, the Rabbanan hold, even though it doesn't have kazayis, yechayiv. So Rishonim discuss what is the definition of a barrier. One definition is that something that was also from when it was created. For example, something that's not kosher. Another example is that it's something that comes from a living thing, like a giranosha. Another is that even if you'll divide it, it still will have its original name. If you'll take a gid and you cut it, it's still called a gid. Another explanation is that it's only a barrier when it's whole. And therefore, if it's not whole, then it will be chayiv. Moreover, as Tosfos pointed out, that just like we're learning by gid, if you ate a kazayis of it, yechayiv, even if it's a large gid, so too by sheretz. So why don't we learn that from the word achila by sheretz? So Tosfos explains that by sheretz I need the word achila to teach us that din. But by the gid anasha, the Torah says the word asher alakaf. So I already learned that halach from the word asher alakaf. That's why the word achila, according to Yehuda, is here to teach us that yechayiv even for just the kazayis. Says the Mishnah Yerach, shnesbash ba gid anasha. If you have the thigh and the gid anasha was cooked, While the yerech was cooked, while the gid anasha is in it, im yesh by benoisa tam, if that gid anasha could give tam to the yerech, then haray asura, the entire gid anasha is asur. So of course, as we're beginning these sugyas, and this is the sugya of noisa tam, and this is the sugya that the way we identify, we'll explain this more in our shiurim, if you have time, is by measuring sishim, but we can't say, Tosfos, that we don't just look at the gid, because we also look at the meat that's near the gid, because since we salt the meat, that piece of meat that's right next to the gid has a tam from the gid, and therefore we measure against that entire piece of meat. Now, very big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. And this is a machlokes that applies in many areas of these type of situation. If a drop of milk fell on a piece of meat, so of course we automatically say, the shira shishim, if you have shishim and the piece of meat against the milk, we're fine. If not, not. But it's not that simple. Because let's say that piece of meat is sticking out of the pot. So do you count only the part that's sticking out of the pot, or do you look everything that's in the pot? Rashi's opinion is that if the milk fell on what's outside the pot, we only look at the part that's outside the pot when we want to measure shishim. Tosfos says that we look at everything that's in the pot. And that would be relevant here too. When you have the gid hanosha, when you have the gid anasha with the meat, are they all together or outside in the pot? Or even if they're outside the pot, part is out and part is inside, we measure it all together. The Shulchan Aruch, we have a machlokes ha-poskim, what to pask in such a situation. The Shach paskins that we look at everything in the pot. The Taz says that no, if part of the piece of meat is outside the pot and part is in the pot, and what fell was on the part that's on the outside of the pot, we look only on what's out. Like Rashi takes the approach that we paskin, like that we are machmer. Says the Gemara. So ketz misharnesai. But now we have a very big problem. The meat, the gid and the meat, how are we supposed to identify that there's no tam or there is tam? Says the Mishnah, the way to make this determination is kibbosa b'lefes. Were you to cook meat in turnip, if the meat has the taste of turnip, then we have a problem. If it doesn't have the taste of turnip, then we could be lenient. So this, as we said, is going to be a big discussion in our shiurim. And that is, our Mishnah seems to say that we always follow Shishim. Is that true? Or can we rely on somebody telling us it does or doesn't taste this way, which is known in halacha as a kfela? Can we rely on an expert? So Rashi's opinion is that we always need Shishim. And Rashi's opinion is very much supported by what we're learning here. The Mishnah says we have to make this determination. Many Rishonim disagree, and they say, of course, if it's two types of food that have very two different distinct taste of food, we could just rely on taste. And again, we will talk about this more in the Gemara. Here, we're talking about the Gid and the Yerech. They both have the exact same taste. That's why that's not going to be good enough. Gid and Nasha Shin Spashal and Gidim. If the Gid and Nasha got cooked together with other Gidim that may be eaten, Bizman Shimakiroi, if you're able to identify, there's a whole group of Gidim here, and we don't know which is the bunch of Gidim here, we don't know which is the Gid and the Nasha. So the Gemara Bizman Shimakiroi, if you could identify it, all we need to do is be nice and tam. If that kid is bottle b'shishim, we're fine. Vimlav. But if you can't determine which is the gid anasha, kulan asirim. Because in every gid, we have to be concerned that it's the gid that's asir. Here, the Mishnah, explained the Rishonim, is differentiating between the first part of the Mishnah, where you have meat and gid anasha, so it's min b'she'ena minay, versus gid anasha with other gidim, which is min b'minay. V'arayte b'naysetam. But if there's roitev in that pot, so it's not the gid, so then the halacha is we have to see if there's shishim, then I'll make even the sauce, the gravy asr, otherwise not. The kein chaticha shenavela. They got mixed up. Chaticha shodag tamei. Shnizbashlam chaticha. The vela got cooked together with kosher meat, and the dog tame got cooked together with kosher fish. If you could identify which is the problematic piece of meat, the problematic fish, but nice and tam. The halach is, then we have to see if the shishim get it. If not, v'mlav, since they're all the same, min b'minoi, so the halach will be that kul and asuris, we can't eat anything. But when we speak about the roitiv, we have to see if the non-kosher meat was bottle, the shishim, then the roitiv will be permissible to be eaten.